Hare Krishna. So we'll start with the initial prayers. Please press the hold button. I hope it's fine. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we are having the first lesson of this Bhakti Shastri course. So last class was orientation. So now it is clear what are we going to study today. So the first 22 verses of chapter 1 as well as preface. So these are the two sections that we are going to cover. So how many of you have read first 22 verses, Bhagavad Gita and Surrender Unto Me? Anyone read Surrender Unto Me? At least Bhagavad Gita. Okay, few people. If you don't read, there will be difficulty. Because the whole class is not going to be presentation. Rather, there is going to be group activity. So if you don't actually read, then it will be difficult to follow. And second thing is, along with reading, it is good to do the questions in the handbook. So once you read, it's a good test what you have understood after reading. So there is questions, and easy questions. Say in the first 22 verses, maybe 5 or 6 questions are there. Very easy to do, but it's very important. Now, to start with, we'll start with a quote from Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning the relationship between Bhagavad Gita and this movement. Okay, so Prabhupada is saying, our present movement is based on Bhagavad Gita. It's very obvious. Whatever we are doing is not whimsical or mental concoction. It is authorized, and just to understand, just to the standard of Bhagavad Gita. It is authorized and just to the standard of Bhagavad Gita. Our present movement is based on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is. We do not interpret foolishly, because I say purposefully the word foolishly, that why should we interpret Krishna's words? Am I more than Krishna, or did Krishna leave some portion to be explained by me by interpretation? Okay, it's clear the argument. Prabhupada is asking, is there any point interpreting? Point number one, interpretation is intelligent. It's foolish. So Prabhupada is saying that I am stressing the word foolish because of two reasons. One is, do we know more than Krishna? No. And has Krishna left beside anything in Bhagavad Gita for us to interpret? So Prabhupada is asking this question. It's not we are asking. So Prabhupada is asking this question. So it's a real valid statement for everyone in the whole world. Nobody can actually interpret Bhagavad Gita. Okay, now Prabhupada is continuing another quote. Very interesting. What right he has got? He is not a devotee. So we can understand Prabhupada is talking about somebody. So Prabhupada is saying, what right he has got? He is not a devotee. So this point is described that just like this yogi, Maharshi, he has also written on one Bhagavad Gita. And what right he has got? Prabhupada is asking, what right he has got to write this Bhagavad Gita? He has no right to say anything about Bhagavad Gita because he is not a devotee. Okay. So bring all the books which are published in your country and find out a single man who is a Krishna's devotee. Nobody of them. Then what authority he has got to write on Bhagavad Gita? He has no right. It is simply poking your nose in others' business. Nonsense. Just challenge this person. What right you have got? He has no right. We may not have many followers. We don't care for that. We don't want these nonsense followers. Many thousands. What will they do? But if we can turn one man into Krishna consciousness perfectly, he can do tremendous work in the world. That is our principle. We don't want nonsense. So this is the principle of understanding Bhagavad Gita. Go on. Clear? So do we want to interpret? No. Do we need so many followers? Prabhupada is saying we don't want nonsense followers. So good following, no problem. Alright. Now we are actually setting the scene how the Bhagavad Gita was started. What is the initial storyline that actually led to Bhagavad Gita? So if we speak about Bhagavad Gita is from the great scripture which is Mahabharata. Mahabharata is an itihas. What is meant by itihas? It is history. So if we have to mention this point, we have to clear this point that it is history. It is not mythology. Because the most common word in Indian context and the world context regarding religion is mythology. That whatever we have to do with the religion, whatever histories or pastimes that we hear, it is considered mythology. Mythology means it is imaginary. It is just, you know, folk tales, just stories. So Mahabharata often is considered as mythology, but it is not. It is history of the world. So it is itihas. Now, even great acharyas have commented on Mahabharata. Can anyone know one acharya who has commented on Mahabharata? Anyone knows? Sorry? Could be. Shankaracharya. No, directly, many of them have commented on, or most of them have commented on Bhagavad Gita, for sure. However, we can see Madhvacharya, he has written commentary on whole commentary on Mahabharata. And he has selected many sections of Mahabharata to preach Vaishnavism. Not only Bhagavad Gita, but even other sections of Mahabharata. And we can see even Srila Prabhupada, he has many quotings from Mahabharata. You know the most famous quotation from Mahabharata? One verse. It actually establishes the authority of the disciplic succession. And Prabhupada quotes many times, and also it is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's a very famous verse. Start from Tarka Pradishto. Have you heard this? Shrutayo Vibhinna. So it's a very famous verse because it says, if you want to know about the absolute, by the arguments one cannot know. If somebody is coming and arguing, okay, we will argue, we will discuss, discussion may be okay, but if you argue, we will have a debate regarding the absolute truth and we can come to a conclusion. If you say that and people start arguing on different philosophical points, arguments will go on and on, but there won't be any conclusions. Because mutually they will disagree all the time. So that is Tarka Pradishto. With Tarka one cannot understand. And Shrutayo Vibhinna. Shrutayo Vibhinna means if you take different scriptures, they are giving different opinions. So we have the vast body of Vedic literature, and these literatures are giving different opinions. So how can we come to a right conclusion? Then if we ask the opinion of Munis, the Munis are known for having different opinions. A Muni is accepted as a Muni if he can give different opinions. It's like philosophers. A philosopher is respected if he can produce a philosophy which is completely different from that of others. If he is repeating something else, then he is no more respected. Where is the creativity? What's the use of a philosophy if somebody is repeating somebody else's? So one has to be creative. So in that way, we cannot understand about the absolute truth. We cannot understand about Krishna by asking Munis of different nature, because they give their own opinion. So Mahabharata says again, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. That is the absolute truth, the knowledge about the truth is hidden guhayam. Guha, one meaning of guha is cave, the dark cave. It is hidden in the dark cave. Or other meaning of guha is, it is hidden in those great personalities' heart. Guha also refers to the heart, the core of the heart. It is hidden in the heart of those great personalities. So how can we understand about the absolute truth? So he says, Maha Yena Gata Sa Pantha. That is, by approaching a Mahajan, one can actually understand about the absolute truth. And Srimad Bhagavatam says, who are the Mahajans? Great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj, Dharmaraj himself, Bhishma, Narada Muni, Kumaras, Lord Shiva, Bali Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is not in the list, I think. So there are different 12 Mahajans are there. So by approaching them or their followers, one can understand what is absolute truth. So Mahabharata is used in different contexts for referencing. So it's not just story. There is philosophy in it, as we can see Bhagavad Gita, of course, but there are other different sections also. Yesterday we were seeing the documentary on the Vedic cosmology, so it was mentioning in the Jambadvip Kanta how it is mentioned about the planetary system and about the description of the earth planet in Mahabharata. So Mahabharata has many subject matters, it's not just stories. Even about Srimad Bhagavatam, this misconception is there. That is, Bhagavatam means stories, only stories, there is no philosophy, just tell the stories up till the 10th canto and just leave it. That is the essence of Bhagavat Saptah by the professional reciters, storytelling, and there is no philosophy. If you go to many parts of India, we can listen. There is no philosophy in it. So Mahabharata is also not like that. There is very, very critical and very important philosophy in it, even though the main body of the text is the history of the world for many thousands of years. Now, what actually led for Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita? And what led here, the first verse says, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yusava Mamaka Pandavaischeva Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. So what did they do? That is a question that is Dhritarashtra is asking. What did they do? That is, my sons and the Pandavas, what did they do in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So what actually led to such a situation of battle in the Dharmakshetra of Kurukshetra? So then we can actually see the history. Everything actually started from Dhritarashtra being the king, and Pandu died, and Pandu had his kids, they were Pandavas, and his wife, that is Kunti Devi, and for Kauravas, they were under the shelter of Dhritarashtra. Same with Pandavas, because Dhritarashtra was the king, and both Pandavas as well as Kauravas were under the shelter of the king. Still, someone was very envious. Who was envious? Duryodhan was very, very envious of Pandavas, and especially Bhima. He was very, very envious of Bhima. One reason why he was envious of Bhima, one reason was the strength. So he was very envious. And they plotted many plans to kill Pandavas. one plan was, even when they were kids, when Pandavas were kids, they tried to kill Pandavas. That is an interesting story. That is, Duryodhana especially wanted to kill Bhima. So what he gave?
Poison.
So the point was, he knew Bhima is a voracious eater, as you will see, Vrikodara. He is ready to eat anything and everything. So he, you know, he thought, okay, this is the best opportunity for me. I will give him poison cake. And he gave him, along with other sweets, nice poison cake. And Bhima very happily ate. But after eating, what happened to him? He became unconscious. So this is the opportunity for Duryodhan. He took Bhima and went into the river and put him under. And he tried a big, big rock so that he will just go like that down. So it did happen. He went down. But where he went? Nagaloka, the abode of the serpents. There he went. However, the Nagas, the serpents, they started biting him. So he already had the poison in his body, and the serpents started biting him. So it was meant that the poison would kill him, but the opposite happened. That is, when these two poisons came together, actually cancelled each other due to some chemical reaction. And by the will of the Lord, we can understand. So he became conscious. Instead of dying, Bhima became conscious. And when he became conscious, in the Naga abode, the Nagas, they became happy actually with Bhimasen. And they said, okay, we will give you boon. And what boon they give? 10,000. The strength of 10,000 elephants. So the whole plan of Duryodhan was to kill Bhima. But he tried. Bhima went down in the water and he became of the strength of 10,000 elephants. So it actually adversely affected. The whole plot was lost. And Duryodhan became even more envious because he had more strength now. So the animosity continued. Then we can see in the wax house? Lakshagra. What is this? English? Wax house. Okay, that's right. Laksha. Okay, Lakshagra. So they tried to burn them alive. So there were many plots like that. And what is the most turning point of the whole Mahabharata? How the whole thing started? It was a gambling match. It was a gambling match. But what led to gambling match? Draupadi's laugh. Yeah. So there is a woman behind everything. So they constructed Indraprastha, isn't it? They constructed the Indraprastha, and it was constructed by Vishwakarma. So it was so amazing that if there is water on the floor, it doesn't look like water is there on the floor. And if there is no water on the floor, it looked like there is water. So it was like there, it was looking like there was a beautiful flower carpet on the floor. And Duryodhan was first of all, seeing the whole palace, Duryodhan was first of all very envious. This is the nature of envy. Envy means if somebody has got something better than me, then I feel envy. Somehow or other, I should get it and he shouldn't have the same. That is the principle of envy. As we know, we are here because of the same reason. So that is the principle. So Duryodhan is actually showing a perfect envious person. So he saw the beautiful flower carpet and he was about to walk. So just before what happened, okay, he walked. So when he walked, when he stepped on, he went inside the water because it was a nice water pond. But it looked like it is a flower carpet, so beautiful. Two people were watching this. One was Draupadi. And also one more person was there. That was Krishna. Krishna was also there. So Draupadi started laughing. And Krishna encouraged. Krishna said, you laugh more. So this actually, when Duryodhan had a look, okay, already this happened. And when he had a look at Draupadi, he became extremely angry. So then he decided, I want her. This was the inimical, this was the envious. And this was the mentality of, demoniac mentality of Duryodhan. So this was the point, actually the animosity grown to a greatest degree where they had to fight. And in this regard, the Dyuta, what is that Dyuta match? The gambling match was arranged. And in the gambling match, of course, the Duryodhan and the team, the Kauravas, they cheated. Shakuni was there, Mama Shakuni. He's rolling the dice. He had all the different techniques. So they were cheated. And they lost. The Pandavas lost one by one. You know, the wealth, the kingdom. And finally, what they lost? Draupadi. So Draupadi was brought to the court. And all the great heroes were there. That is, Bhishma was there, Drona was there, Kripacharya was there, all of them were there, and all the Pandavas there sitting, and Kauravas were there. Who brought Draupadi to the assembly? Dushyasan. Dushyasan brought her. And now, they have nothing left. They lost Draupadi also. Then they had to go to the forest on exile. So they went. And after going there, they had to go through the whole different series of sufferings. Many, many different kinds of sufferings. And then they came back. And the last 1 year was Agyatvas. They lived incognito. So that was also another trouble. So we know Arjun was became an dancer. What was her name? You remember? Brihannala, is it?
Brihannala.
Yeah, Brihannala. Okay, that's right. And chef. What was his name? Valala? Something like that? Huh? Valala? Something like that, yeah. Bhima became a chef. Then Yudhishthir became?
Counselor.
A counselor of the king. Of which king?
Virat.
Exactly, Virat. And Nakul and Sahadev, anyone know? Horse, yeah. The stable, okay. So everyone got the suitable occupations. And for Arjun it was quite useful because he already was cursed by Urvashi. So to live sometime like a woman. So he got the perfect curse. So he used the curse at the perfect time. So he became the dancer and he taught Uttara. And after the teaching, Uttara wanted to marry Arjun. But he couldn't because Arjun said, you know, you are like my daughter. So he couldn't. Then who married?
Abhimanyu
married. That's Arjuna's son married then. So that went on, and after everything, they came back. When they came back, they had no kingdom. So they requested, okay, at least give half the kingdom, according to the... Right, okay, give me the half the kingdom. Did they give half the kingdom? No. Then, Krishna went to Duryodhana and team as a messenger to ask for something, at least 5 villages. So they went and asked for 5 villages. So it was actually, if Duryodhana was intelligent, he could have at least given 5 villages. They asked only for 5 villages. It is not a big deal because they are Kshatriyas. They are in the administrative position. So they need an occupation where they can use their administrative skills. They can go and beg. Still, Duryodhana didn't give. Duryodhana said, I won't give enough land to pierce, drive 3, 5 or 1 pin. 1 pin. So how much is that? Nothing. Even that he can't give. Means he can't give anything. So that is also finished. So it led to the battle of Kurukshetra. So the whole thing, because they didn't have any option. Even Krishna didn't want the fight. People say, why Krishna allowed the fight? Krishna didn't want the fight in one sense. So that's the reason he went as a messenger. But it shows that even Krishna didn't want the fight at that context. But Duryodhana and team, they wanted it. They deserved that. And they wanted to be killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra because they are demons. So the Lord's ultimate will is going to happen anyway. So even though the Lord went and asked, it didn't work out. So the battle took place. And a little bit about how is the armies, both sides. Arjun and Duryodhana had a plan. Duryodhana actually wanted the whole armies of Krishna in his team. So Duryodhana actually went to Krishna's palace and he wanted to meet him. So he went there. Krishna was sleeping. Krishna knew everything, but he was sleeping. He was fully conscious while he was sleeping. But he was sleeping. Then Duryodhana came and he saw the Lord sleeping. So he thought, okay, anyway I had to wait because I have come here for a purpose. If somebody goes for a purpose, then they had to wait. He cannot say, I will not wait. He has to wait. He had to. So he decided he will wait. Then he thought, why should I wait at the feet of Lord Krishna? That is third class. Feet. I am a king and you know I am such a great personality. How can I be at the feet of somebody? That too Krishna. So I will go and stand at the head of Krishna. That will be nice. So he went. So Krishna is flying. Duryodhana is standing at the side. Arjun also came. Arjun came late. He thought, he is my Lord, so I should, it's my good fortune that I can stand at the feet of the Lord. So he stood at the feet of the Lord. Krishna woke up. Whom he saw first? Arjun. He could have seen Duryodhana first, but he didn't see. He saw Arjun first and asked Arjun, so why did you come? What do you want? Duryodhana immediately said, no, how can you ask him first? I came here first. So Krishna said, no, I saw him first, so I am asking him what he wants. So Arjun asked, Arjun said, okay, this battle is going to happen, so you should come to my side. So Krishna said, first of all, I can come to any side, but I will not fight. That is the first condition. I will not fight. But my armies will fight. Krishna has Narayan Sainya. It is big army, huge, massive. They have all the weapons and they are well trained. They can fight at any cost. So Arjun said, so this is Krishna is there. What's the use of Krishna? He's not going to fight. Okay, he's the Supreme Lord. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all powerful. But he's not going to take his weapon at all. He's not going to fight. And he has got this big army who are ready to fight. They are ready to give up their life if required. Still Arjun said, oh my Lord, I only want you. You don't have to fight, but you be with me. Duryodhana was the most happiest person. He thought, what's the use of, okay, maybe he's a big personality, but he does, you know, he's not going to fight. So what's the use of him? As good as a person, it's just for the namesake. So here I have got the big army, and they are going to fight for me. So very good. He was very happy. So this is the demoniac mentality. Because they don't want Krishna, they want Krishna's energies. They don't want Krishna, they want Krishna's energies. But we know the end result of battle of Kurukshetra. Who wins, the energies in this context or Krishna himself? Krishna himself. So that is the difference. So that is the demoniac mentality we can see. Nobody talks about Krishna, but everyone talks about Lakshmi. Everyone talks about Lakshmi. Even the gross materialists talk about Lakshmi. But nobody talks about Narayan or Krishna. So that is the difference, the demoniac mentality. And for devotees, they want Krishna and Lakshmi. Both are there. That's the difference. Okay. Now, I will give you a task. So, the battle was inevitable and both armies are standing. One side, the other side. So battle is going to start. Before that, before battle is going to start, in the book, what is there? We have the preface. So we have to go back to the preface. And there we have some task. Who has read preface? If not, at least have a book. And this is a brainstorming session, a discussion session, in which we are going to look at mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada in the preface. What is the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada as he has given in the preface? It's very important. So you have to give me answers. We can write it down. We can start from the mission. What is the mission as is stated in the purport, in the preface? Sorry? Okay, we can. Even one person becomes a devotee. It's not exactly the mission. Mission, eh? Present Bhagavad Gita in its original form. Okay. Present Bhagavad Gita as it is. Okay.
Krishna conscious moment is genuine, historically authorized, natural, and transcendental.
Okay, a little bit more.
To establish Krishna conscious moment more sound.
Exactly, that's right. To establish, that is a very good point. To establish. Krishna consciousness movement on the basis of Bhagavad Gita.
He says, for example, everyone should know.
Everyone should?
No. Different sentences, but everyone should know how God or Krishna is great.
Krishna is great. Everyone should know.
Okay,
to spread Krishna consciousness. Okay, that's good. All right. Yes, Prabhu. To make it the most
popular. It said in the first verse, even though he wrote the preface very early, but the first verse is, it is gradually becoming the most popular movement in the entire world.
Becoming a popular movement.
Most popular.
It is becoming a most popular. Okay.
It was huge.
All right.
You know, it was only 71 when he wrote this preface.
Okay.
His vision was the whole world, not
a... So, to spread Krishna consciousness, whole world. Okay, that's good. Okay, Akhil Prabhu.
Pretty much the same as first, but to give a personal interpretation of Bhagavad Gita.
Personal interpretation. What is?
Present Bhagavad Gita as it is with personal interpretation.
Okay, so it means the purport.
Yeah, the explanation.
Explanation, yeah, that's the purport. Srila Prabhupada's purport. So it actually comes under the same thing, that is present Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because Prabhupada often says he's explaining it. It's not the kind of interpretation as we think. Even many lectures, Prabhupada gives different examples. Prabhupada says, interpretation means something which we cannot understand. Something which is hidden, then we have to interpret. Mm-hmm. But explanation is different from that kind of interpretation. I remember one example Prabhupada was given was regarding the island and the river. Or anyone had heard this example? That if somebody says something is on the bank of the river, then it is clear. But if it is not on the bank, if it is in the river, means you have to understand that it's not inside, but it's outside. Like that Prabhupada gives an example in that line. I can't exactly remember. So it is interpretation is whenever we can't directly understand something, then we have to interpret. If it doesn't fit in the common logic, then we have to interpret. But Prabhupada says whatever is presented in Bhagavad Gita is straightforward. Krishna is speaking straightforward, it is understandable. So what's the point of interpreting? Any other mission?
Center point.
Oh, okay, very good point. What is that?
Central point.
To teach central point. It's a very important point of BG. Yeah, that comes under to spread Krishna consciousness pretty much.
To give the knowledge to the common man and go back to the Godhead.
Okay, comes under to spread Krishna consciousness.
Present the mission of Lord Krishna.
To present the mission of Lord Krishna. Actually, it is to present the mission of Lord Krishna as it is. That is pretty much okay. Comes under the Bhagavad Gita as it is.
On Mayavad, because it is Mayavad, as it is.
Yeah, it is there. It comes under this. When we are presenting as it is, it is actually against Mayavad.
The conditioned
To derive the benefit of Bhagavad Gita fully. As it is, okay.
I wanted the Krishna conscious moment to be the best place to understand.
What is that? Wondered?
Krishna conscious movement to be the best place to understand Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna conscious, yeah, it is, yeah, I can understand what you're saying. It's coming to the, towards the end of the preface. Is it right? Towards the end of the preface, that point is coming, yeah. We can write all this point. I have actually summarized a few points together. Okay, we can write everything whatever you're saying. What is it? Refute Mayavad. Okay. That actually comes under Mayavad. Alright. It's part of, interesting, because Prabhupada's pranam mantra is saying that. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarane. Yeah.
To show how the general public's thinking is there against that, like how they are thinking and how exactly they need to think. Like, Prabhupada wants to concentrate on how scientists and everyone scholars are thinking.
He wanted to approach all kinds of people. Pure devotees.
Yeah.
So the end result of spread Krishna conscious whole world is to create pure devotees. Pure devotees. Okay. Good.
To give the knowledge of who is God.
To give the knowledge of who is God. Okay. We can summarize everything together now. Who is God? Alright. Give the knowledge. Okay. Anything else? Okay. I think pretty much you have covered many points. Yeah, okay. One point I had to add, very important, that is, you mentioned about the spreading of Krishna consciousness and Bhagavad Gita as it is. So I have actually summarized in this way. Propagation of Krishna consciousness movement by spreading Bhagavad Gita in the light of parampara knowledge without any adulteration. So the parampara part is very critical. So I'll just write those points. Parampara. What is that? Parampara knowledge. Okay. I can't see. Towards the end is difficult. Okay. Okay. You had to adjust. The parampara knowledge without adulteration. Second, you already mentioned that is very important, that is authorize the activities of Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone remember the first quote we were reading of Prabhupada? Because our Krishna consciousness movement is based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. So if we have this whole movement, we have the whole society, so it is based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. So to authorize all the activities that we are performing, what is the basis that is coming from Bhagavad Gita as it is?
I heard in the other day that there's a court case somewhere, might have been in Japan, something like that. Maybe this is not an authorized movement.
Yeah.
A religious movement. You say bring the books as evidence. This is our evidence. This is bona fide.
I think that actually happened in Australia as well.
Yeah.
I think there was a court case for the Melbourne Temple.
Yeah.
Over whether they had to pay rates or not.
Yeah.
Because a religious organization doesn't have to pay rates.
Yeah.
So I think their council actually took us to court over whether we had to pay rates, and therefore the law of the court ruled in our favour.
Good points. So to authorize. I think that is pretty much coming here to establish Krishna consciousness movement on basis of Bhagavad Gita. Then the final one, to teach Vaishnava philosophy to the whole world. To teach Vaishnava philosophy. Okay, just understand first Vaishnava. So under this, to teach Vaishnava philosophy to the whole world, the other thing comes. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are servants of Krishna. We have to turn ourselves from sense gratification, enjoying our senses, to serve the senses of Krishna. These are all part of Vaishnava philosophy. So that is a broad classification of mission to the whole world. So yeah.
After popularizing to the whole world.
The whole world means India is included.
I mean overseas, and then again taking back this culture, this
Prabhupada did that. Yeah. That is part of the whole world includes India. India is not separate from the whole world, it's part of the whole world. So yeah, okay, there can be geographical and going there, coming back, but still, the whole world includes India. Okay, so that part is clear. Okay, then the mood. Oh yeah, that's fair. Sorry, credit to Guru. Okay, good. Credit to Guru and Krishna. Yeah. Okay, credit to Guru and Krishna. So now that's a very, very, very important point. Because if we have done something small, still we take the credit. Is it right? So if somebody has written now, how many books? As an author, Prabhupada has written 60 plus books. And in Prabhupada's time, there were 108 temples. Then thousands of disciples, centers all around the world. And in a lot of appreciation and media coverage. So he has done so many things. And even after doing so many things, Prabhupada is giving credit to full credit. Even if we do something moderate thing, and we try to take at least most of the credit, and if we are quite sattvic and we are in a good consciousness, then we will give credit to Guru and Krishna to some degree. Some portion I need. So this is 100%. Prabhupada is giving credit to Guru and Krishna full, everything. So that is the difference between pure devotee and us, or at least me. Yes, Prabhu.
Very hard on other commentators, and especially Maya.
Okay, very good point. That is, he is very hard on other commentators.
Who is he? Maharishi.
Yeah, that's right. It's not in the preface.
It's in the preface. We read this here in the quotes.
Yeah, quotes. But no, that's not part of discussion now. Mm. A preface. But it's a good point, that is, he is very heavy on Mayava, that's right.
The last point,
yeah, so what does that show? If what is the point that is mentioning at the end of the preface? Even? You want to read that out?
We hope therefore that people will derive the greatest benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, as we have presented it here. And if one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, we shall consider our attempt as success.
So even if one person becomes pure devotee of the Lord, then Srila Prabhupada is telling our mission is successful. So what does that show? No, in the mood, we are talking about the mood of Prabhupada. So in terms of mood, what does that show?
He is expecting pure devotee, not nonsense.
Okay, but yeah, He is presenting a genuine philosophy, but in what mood? You know, when he's telling, okay, you know, even at least even if one person become a devotee, it's fine. Yeah, it's a humility. There is humility. There is an element of humility. If he was not humble, or if you think our situation, if he is putting a lot of effort to do something, and can we expect that only one person comes, you know, I'll be satisfied? Say, Bhakti Shastri, I am teaching. Okay, if one person comes, I am the most happiest person. Yeah, a great sense of humility is there in that. Great sense of humility is there. Otherwise, one cannot tell that. The humility is one point. That's a good point, Prabhuji. Huh? Yes, that's right, because that reason he is giving all the credit to Guru and Krishna. Any other mood that you are noting from?
Compassion,
exactly. Compassion. Where Prabhupada is showing compassion? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. People in the age of Kali, they are unhappy, quarreling. There's no peace. So that is compassion. Anything else?
Preaching according to circumstances or clarity of a person?
Preaching according to circumstances. Can you see that in that preface? Where can you see that? Okay, let me ask you one thing. As in the preface, how strongly Srila Prabhupada is presenting? How strongly he is presenting Vaishnava philosophy? How strongly he is refuting Mayavad? Is it very strong?
Yes.
Is Prabhupada is doing any compromise on anything? No, the whole preface we can say the mood is uncompromising presentation. Uncompromising, there is no compromise. It's a mood. It's a strong mood of Srila Prabhupada. Uncompromising. Appreciative of? Yeah, he is appreciative.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a good point. Appreciation for those who are following from the initial section, yeah. Appreciation for the followers. Because Prabhupada is appreciating his young disciples as well as their parents. And another very important one is Prabhupada is very convinced that only Krishna consciousness movement can help people. And Prabhupada also makes a very strong statement towards the end of the preface. Want to say anything? Towards the end, Prabhupada makes a very, very strong statement. Yeah, core part. Yeah, that is
there.
Yeah, and Prabhupada says, must take help from Krishna consciousness movement. Who wants to understand Bhagavad Gita, must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement. Yeah, Prabhupada is using the word must. It means, if here Prabhupada has to use the word must, it means Prabhupada is completely convinced that this is the way. Full conviction.
So
we can speak only based on our conviction. Yes, Prabhu.
It's also based on things practical. Like this, the Bhagavad Gita must be the taken out of the consciousness for practical understanding of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. One must take the help.
Not just sit under a tree sort of mood.
Yeah.
And he pushed his disciples so hard.
Not armchair philosophy.
Yes.
Yeah. Practice. the mood of practical application, not theorizing. Because usually philosophers, when they come up with some philosophy, the whole mood is just philosophize, just theorize, write some papers and discuss and forget it. There is no question of practical application. Here, that's not the case. Okay. Is there any questions or comments so far? Clear? Regarding the mood and the mission.
The mood to the obedience to the Prabhupada. He says that they have to take to get benefit. They have to be under the influence of the mood.
Yep. We have touched that point in the mission. Parampara presentation of the knowledge. Credit to Guru, yeah, that's a good point. Credit to Guru is already given as the first point, so it also shows the parampara. Okay, now the first verse says about Dharma Kshetra. It starts from Dharma Kshetra. So what is the significance of Dharma Kshetra? Okay, who said that? It's a holy place. That's the point number one. Second, what else? What else about Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra? What is the significance of Dharma Kshetra? Okay, so it's a holy place where pious sacrifices have happened and can happen. Then what is the significance? What else is there in Dharma Kshetra? Why it is only truth will win? Okay, that is a good point as well. Okay, so Krishna is present, and what is actually used to qualify Krishna? There is some adjective given to Krishna explaining, you know, who is Krishna? Yeah, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only that, one more. Actually relevant to this context. Huh? No, it is yes, there Krishna is on the side of Pandavas, but in this context, who is Krishna? When we are talking about religiosity, exactly, if we are talking about pious place, so it is a pious place because first of all, the father of religion, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is present. And what is going to happen? The war is going to happen. And when Krishna is present, along with Pandavas, who is going to win? Pandavas. So why Dhritarashtra asked this question? What did they do? It's a foolish question. If you think, if in the normal context, it's a foolish question. If two people are going to fight, and you know everything is ready, two armies are ready, you know everything is going to happen, and now asking what did they do? They fought. That's it. So the question itself carries something. It shows that
fear.
It shows the fear. It shows the fear, and it also shows the outcome. It shows that it's not going to really go in his favor. Especially it is in Dharma Kshetra. It's in a pious place. And it can favor, or it is going to favor Pandavas because they are very, very virtuous and pious people of the whole world. Why are they pious people? Why Pandavas are pious people? Exactly, because they are devotees of the Lord. Because devotees of the Lord, and they are the pure devotees of the Lord. And devotees of the Lord, naturally they have all good qualities. That's why they are pious. Not that they have just performed some pious activities. No. Because they are the devotees, already all these qualities are manifested in them. Now actually the politics starts. Everyone is there on the battlefield, and battle is going to start, and the politics is going to start as well. The diplomacy of Duryodhan is going to start. That is the next step in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Which verse actually shows starting of diplomacy of Duryodhan? Okay. Okay, so now we can start. What's the diplomacy, how it starts? I need some one person to write. You want to write? Okay, he wants to write again. So we can start from one direction, we can go this way. Somebody can view. Okay, from this direction. How the diplomacy of Duryodhana started?
When he goes to his teacher.
Yeah.
And says about the arrangement of the army, how his disciple or this student who's on the other side is going to arrange the battle.
Okay, that is a good point. That is, you can write in the second verse, second two, you can write two and hyphen, and then. Okay, you can explain that point. It is a good point. It is about the arrangement. Duryodhana approached his teacher, that is Dronacharya. So, what does that signify?
First thing, he is approaching Dronacharya because Bhishma and Dronacharya.
That is the second part. First part. What is the first point in it? The point that he approached Dronacharya. Forget about Bhishma and Karna. What is that? No, not exactly. That, not the first point.
He arranged everything.
Who? Dronacharya. Now, what is the position of Dronacharya in the army? What is his position? He is commander in chief. And Duryodhana is king. So the point is, the king, even though he is the king, he approached commander in chief.
He wants to make him feel that.
Yeah, so the first point is, even though he was king, he approached the right person, the commander in chief, and he talked. So that itself shows he is very diplomat. He said, he didn't think, you know, I'm a king, so, you know, I know about everything. But he approached the commander-in-chief, because he is the in charge of the army. So that is the first point. That is, even though he is a king, still he approached commander-in-chief. And the second point, it actually, what is that? Second point. What did he say, approaching Dronacharya? You have made a mistake. So what? How he pointed out that mistake? Dhimatam. That's all. Something particular.
He talks about.
Dhimata means one who is skilled or one who is well versed. Shishya is fine, but before that. Ah, exactly, that is the point. That is Drupada Putrayana Tava Shishyana Dhimata. So it is Drupada Putra. So he is pointing out that is Drupada Putra. So what is the significance of who is Drupada Putra? Who is the son of Drupada? Dhrishtadyumna. So what is the point? He could have directly said Dhrishtadyumna. But he didn't say that. He could have, what's the big deal? Why you had to take the name of the father first and then relate to the son? He could have said Dhrishtadyumna. But he didn't say that. He said Drupada Putrana, son of Drupada. And why? That is the? Because they were enemies. Because he wanted to incite anger in Dronacharya. So then he used the term, okay, Drupada Putrana, instead of telling Dhrishtadyumna. So we can see that his diplomatic arrangement. So he used Drupada Putrana. And everyone knows the story, I suppose. What happened to Drupada and Drona when they were kids. They were under the same guru, they were in Gurukul, they were good friends. And Drupada, being a Kshatriya, he said, when I grow up, I'll give you half the kingdom. Drona was very happy. Drona, being a Brahmana, he was ready to accept charity. They grew up, Drupada became a king, and Drona became a poor Brahmin. And then what happened? He had a son, Ashwathama, and Ashwathama wanted to drink some milk. He was so poor that he didn't have milk to give to him. So some of his neighbors, the boys, they thought, okay, we will actually have some fun. So they made some white liquid, I think made of some dough or something. And that white liquid gave to Ashwathama, and Ashwathama drank that, because he didn't know what is milk. He drank and he came to Dronacharya and he said, I am so happy today because I have, you know, I got milk to drink. So hearing this, Drona became so upset, because he couldn't, you know, his son does not know what is milk. So that is the poverty, how much poverty stricken Drona was. Then Drona decided, okay, I remember this benediction given by Drupada years back when I was a kid. So I will approach Drupada, I will ask for half the kingdom. Because he said when he was a kid, he said, promised Dronacharya that I will give half the kingdom when I become a king. He became a king and Drona went to Drupada and asked for half the kingdom. What was the answer Drupada gave? A heavy answer. And he said, friendship is only among equals. You are a poverty stricken Brahmin and I am the king. And friendship, we were friends before, but now there is no friendship. Friendship is only among equals. Now you are my subordinate and I am the king. So what is the question of giving half the kingdom? I won't give anything. So Drona became completely angry and he went back. Then what he did? Years passed. He actually learned the art of military science. Then he actually learned, even though he was a Brahmin, still he learned the art of military science. And then because of his high caliber in the military science, he became the guru of Pandavas as well as Kauravas. And after teaching everything to Pandavas and Kauravas, he asked for Guru Dakshina. So Duryodhan was very happy. He said, I will give you the Guru Dakshina. And that Guru Dakshina is go defeat Drupada and bring him. So Duryodhan went, and what happened? He got defeated. And he was easily defeated by Drupada. And when Duryodhan came back, Drona was even more embarrassed, because he already sent his disciple and he got defeated and he came back. Then he sent Arjun along with other Pandavas, and they actually defeated Drupada and they brought Drupada back to Dronacharya. So Dronacharya was very happy, but Drupada was not very happy. They became the very great enemies. And Drupada had to give half the kingdom to Dronacharya. So that's the reason the enmity is very, very strong. Because especially, Drupada is a king. And he performed the sacrifice to get somebody to kill Dronacharya. We had to see, you know, how that enmity is going in the generation after generation. Such a strong mode of passion, if you think about. One generation is not finished, the next generation is going on. And then Drishtadyumna and Draupadi came from the sacrifice. And that Drishtadyumna is present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra on the side of Pandavas. And seeing him, Duryodhana is pointing out to Dronacharya, that is Drupadaputra and Vashishena Dhimata. Okay, that is Drupadaputra. So, you remember directly that, you know, he is the son of Drupada and he has come to kill you. So be careful. You fight well. So that was a reminder also to Dronacharya. Next one. Anyone read?
This also a disciple of
Drona. Who?
That is what he was reminding.
Who was the disciple of? Drishtadyumna. Okay. Because, what happened? You can tell the story. What happened? No. He was a disciple, so what happened? He actually was a disciple such that he, even though Drona knew he would be killed by Drishtadyumna, still he taught the military science to him. So we will discuss that point later. Okay, that's a good point. That will be discussed later. And also the sequence of names, that is also very interesting. First he addressed Dronacharya, and then Bhishma, and then Karna. So according to the caste system perfectly, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Yeah, it's a Sutta Putra, isn't it? Sutta. It's a mixed actually. Karna is a Sutta Putra. Sutta is actually a mixed. Varna Sankara is already there. It's a mixed class. Even though he's not. He's a Kshatriya originally, but according to the current understanding, he was Sutta Putra.
Before that, he spoke the names of their army.
Yeah.
Pandava's army to show how strong they are.
Yeah. And whose name he mentioned first? Bhima. Why Bhima's name first? Because? Exactly. And Bhima had also three vows he has taken. One is to kill all 100 Pandavas, to kill them. Sorry, Kauravas. We'll be in trouble otherwise. Then, second? Smash his thighs. Why? He indicated, exactly. He indicated that to Draupadi. Okay, you can sit on my lap or thigh. Okay, then third? Oh, that is the third one is very heavy. Drink the blood of Dushasan. Rip his arms off. And then? What will he do with the blood? Yeah, he will wash the head, the hair of Draupadi. How is it? So Draupadi kept her hair unlocked. It was untied all these years till she got the blood of the Dushasan to wash her hair. How is it? Like a shampoo or something in her blood. So that shows the Kshatriya spirit. Both the king and the queen, they had the Kshatriya spirit. Because Draupadi asked for the blood. Draupadi demanded the blood. And Bhima was happy to give that. So they had to wait quite a few years. But it did happen. The blood came. Blood massage for the whole hair. And after the whole thing, he actually encouraged his own army. He mentioned all the names of different people in his army. That is Drona, Bhishma, Karna. And Vikarna's name was also mentioned. Is that a point?
Yes, yes.
It's a point. Why Vikarna? Yeah, exactly. Because he took the side of Pandava in the gambling match. So he started trying to stop. So Vikarna's name is also mentioned. So that he gets flattered and he will fight well for his brother. And finally, in the 11th verse, he encourages all the army members to support grandfather Bhishma. He tells everyone to support his army. So in the surrender unto me is a very interesting point. It was mentioned that is the Kshatriyas, about the Kshatriya spirit. It is mentioned sometimes the Kshatriyas, they are not really bothered in which side they are present. Can you understand? They want to fight. Sometimes they don't really bother in which sides, you know, for whom they are fighting. They just want to fight. You know, that is the Kshatriya spirit. It was given a story of, you know, how he was getting different people. Defectors, how they were getting defectors. Both Krishna and Duryodhan. Krishna tried to get Karna to their side. Krishna sent Kunti Devi. Ask Kunti Devi to go and tell the relation to Karna and get him on her side. But Karna rejected. Karna said no. Karna said, you know, I became a king only by the mercy of Duryodhan, so I'll support him. He didn't come back, even though Karna knew. And another story is about Shalya. Shalya was the uncle of Pandavas. So he was supposed to join Pandavas, but when he was coming from his kingdom, traveling a long distance, the Kauravas, they made a nice arrangement and he took the full advantage of the arrangement and the facilities, and after that he had to take the part of obliged actually to Duryodhana, because he gave a word, whoever gave me all these facilities I will fight for them. So Duryodhana said, yes, I provided everything, so you fight for me. So he had to fight for Duryodhana. So we can see still Shalya was ready to fight. He was the uncle, he was a good relation with Duryodhana, still he had to fight for Kauravas, and he did so because he has given the word. So he had to motivate. So this is the point. That is, all the those who are present, he had to motivate very well, because they are present, they are in the fighting spirit, and not necessary that everyone is of in any relation to Duryodhan. You know, they don't have any relation with Duryodhan. Some people have good relation with Pandava, still on the side of Kaurava. So he had to say, okay, all of you actually support Bhishma. That is the final instruction of Duryodhan for the fight. Okay. So we saw the diplomacy of Duryodhan. So that is another important section in this lesson. How diplomat he was. Written pretty much. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Something in Sandhya made that is Aparyaptam.
Aparyaptam, yeah.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
For example, we said it cannot say any like tiny or something.
Mm.
So it's taken by faith and
yeah.
For so when you only use that word.
Yeah.
For Bhishma, it was encouraging.
Yeah.
But for the other people, it was discouraging.
Anyone remembers that point? Aparyaptam, tadasmagam balam, bhishmabhi, rakshitam, paryaptam. Is it like that?
Yes.
That verse, yeah. Aparyaptam, tadasmagam balam, bhishmabhi, rakshitam. So, two meanings are there for aparyaptam. One is, aparyaptam means? Insufficient. One is one is sufficient and one is insufficient. Which one? Aparyaptam. The one meaning is immeasurable and another meaning is limited. Both opposing meaning it has got. So different commentators uses different meanings. That is the point. Yeah. Aparyaptam tudasmagam balam bhishma virakshita. So our the translation Prabhu was given is, you want to read the translation of that verse? He uses that meaning, immeasurable. What is that translation? The whole.
Our strength is immeasurable.
Yeah.
And we are perfectly protected by Grand Prabhu Bhishma.
Yeah.
Whereas the strength of the Pandya is perfectly protected by Bhima.
Yeah. So actually, Duryodhana is actually encouraging. He's telling our strength is great and their strength is low. So that is the point Duryodhana is making. Yes, it is there, yeah.
At the time, like, responding to Brahmacharya, because, like, Bhishma is not sufficient, so you all have support to
fight.
So that, like, Brahmacharya can take the other meaning and he fights
fully.
Bhishma takes the other meaning and he fights
fully.
Because diplomatically using the meaning.
Yeah. Because the word has got two meanings. Good point. So that is also part of the strategy of Duryodhan in the fight. Now we can pair up. We can have your buddy with you. Two people together. So you had to discuss something. We already discussed the liberal nature of Dronacharya. What was that? He knew Dhrishtadyumna is going to kill him. Still he gave him all the military fans. So it is the liberal nature of a Brahman. So you want to discuss, this is given in the verse 3 actually. This point is given in verse 3. So how is it applicable in our personal life and how it can be exploited? What is the practical application of this principle and is it possible to exploit this principle? This liberal nature of a Brahman. It's a good point. How can we apply in our life and is there a possibility of exploitation of this principle? So this is what we had to discuss. So two people together can discuss. Is there any doubt? Clear? Huh? You don't understand the question? You understand what is the liberal nature of a Brahman? In Krishna conscious society, we are all meant to become Brahmins. Okay? So it means one of the Brahminical qualities is being liberal. So how can we apply this principle? Or in what level can we apply this principle? It's a practical application. It's not a theory, but it's a, how can we apply practically? So, liberal means take the example of Dronacharya. Dronacharya was a Brahmin and he knew that Dushyadamna is going to kill him. Still, he taught him the military science. No. Not liberation. Liberal means, can you give another Hindi or any other word? Nice word. Dayalu, no, it's not merciful. Generous, magnanimous. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you discuss with your pair, not with me. With your pair and come to some conclusion. Can it be exploited? This principle can be exploited or not? Being liberal, yeah. Yeah. How can we be liberal? Very easy. Only 5 minutes is enough because it is too easy. Thank you. all done? It's not too complicated, it's just 5 minutes. Ariba? Done? Yes? No? Okay, Ariba. So you can share some. So what are your thoughts? It's quite simple. Okay. We can hear from them.
The qualities of Brahman is even though a person has a not a good intention, but he still, as a Brahman, have good intentions towards the person.
Okay.
The other person.
Can you apply this in our life? We are meant to be Brahmins. We are meant to come to the Brahmanical platform. So, can you apply that suggestion?
No matter who were the other person, just do good.
Just do good. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Anything else?
We came up with no prejudging. That is, you give your knowledge. In this case, knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, that's a good point. Because why Mahaprabhu is known as Mahavadanyaya? What's the meaning of Mahavadanyaya?
Most
magnanimous. Why? Because? He is freely distributing the highest wealth. That is Krishna consciousness. So that is a very good point. Anything else, bro?
But there was a limit to that. You know, he didn't just say, "Oh, you know, you can't follow the four ranks very well, so don't worry about it." He didn't say, "Okay, the 16's tough, so you know, maybe four is okay." But he had limits to the amount, so he wouldn't allow it to be exploited.
Okay.
But he was nonetheless.
Very, very good point. It's a good point. Prabhupada never compromised on four regulatory principles. Even after the initial batch of initiates, after the initial initiations, Srila Prabhupada, after that he stuck the on the wall. Okay, you had all those who are initiated, you had to follow the four regulatory principles, starting from no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. He put this notice on his door, I think. Is it on the door? Yeah, I think it's on the door or somewhere where everyone can see after the initiation. No, only after the initiation, not before. But after that, afterwards, the initiation used to have the full wow, okay, one has to take the whole four principles, one has to say, okay, I will follow this, then I can get the initiation, otherwise not. That's a good point. So we can understand from the point of view of Prabhupada, Mahaprabhu, what is Mahavadanyaya, most magnanimous, most liberal in giving Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, principles, the basic principles, didn't allow to be exploited. Very good point. Anyone else who would like to share?
Brahmana should be compassionate at the same time. He should distribute the knowledge what he got without a tinge of personal benefiting
him. A very good point. Because when we speak Krishna consciousness or when we preach, it should be personally motivated. We shouldn't think, okay, you know, he will follow me or I'll get a follower, he will do what I'm saying, or maybe he will listen to me in future.
Without expecting any good in return.
Yeah, that's a good point. So without that, we had to give.
Also, Guruji, Brahmanas have to be also be very, very humble and everything. But when the point comes, they have to restrict also, like, in terms of, you know, if somebody's trying to expect anything, they have to be like a whole
kind of
compromise.
Nobody used to say, like, be your lamp and association of devotee and be nine of Chaita.
Okay.
So we can use that, like, Rupa said, like, we have to be humble. But at the same time, even in the courts also, like, Prabhupada is mentioning, so
not be a coward.
If Krishna wants, we shall be prepared to become a violent also.
Okay, that's a good point. We'll be discussing that in a short while. So, I'm leaving it there. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
We mentioned qualified Tathagatas, Krishna consciousness in various places.
Yeah. That's right.
But then still? That didn't deter.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a quality of being liberal, actually. Mm-hmm. Giving Krishna consciousness. Anyone else? Any other? Yes, Prabhu?
We discussed that of the Dronacharya, because like he was a Brahmin, then he learned the art of military science.
Mm.
So when we have to become Brahmin, then we have to come to that platform. And like when we go for Harinam, you know, people come to us and they just dance for their own, for their own enjoyment, but we still give them the chant and all, and then so we are preaching to them irrespective of their qualification.
Mm. That's a good point. That we are giving holy name in that sense. Without
what they are going to do afterwards, but for the time being, they are,
As
long as they are with us.
Haribol. The more people for Harinam. Hare Krishna.
In the class, now you get
it. Recorded. Here it is, yeah. Yeah, sorry?
That's carrying out one's occupational duties.
Mm-hmm.
That is coming out in Drona, that carried out his duty of being a teacher.
Being a teacher, yeah. So
similarly, we have to carry out the occupational duty.
Of? Which occupation? We have pravritti and we have nirvritti. Pravritti is of this world, and nirvritti is the occupation that will take you out of this world. Two duties we have. Especially, you know, you either it's like a two track, is a tram line or a train line. Both we have.
In book distribution, we have seen like sometimes we are doing book distribution. Sometimes, like new people, they don't spend money, they give free of cost. Because many of the devotees are saying, once they become devotees by reading the book, they know they change their life. So they do it.
It depends. That is a conditional statement, actually. Book distribution, giving it for free. Mm-hmm. Because many people, they have money, but still, you know, they have to say, oh, no, I don't have any money.
Yeah,
you know, they pulled up, I don't have any money. If you look like that, you know, you can $50 note, you know. So, it depends. We had to be very careful. Generally, we shouldn't give for free. We should try to get, you know, there are cases if we have extra money collected or something. Times we give for free, if we see a genuine case. But often, we don't. We encourage them to give, get back to us and get it later. That's true.
See, even being liberal in personal life, giving Krishna consciousness to someone who is inimical to us or maybe not favorable to what we are saying, and he might try to exploit us, but still we have to be liberal in giving Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, here you
get exploited, and it is happening to many of the devotees.
Yeah, for instance, people see it as a point of exploitation in one sense. People think, okay, I can take advantage of coming to temple and, you know, I can eat as much as I can. And, people think, you know, oh, yeah, it's a nice thing to do. But actually, it's a good point. They think it as an exploitation. Okay, I can exploit the resources. Okay, it's nice, you know, I can eat every, you know, three times. But actually, they are getting purified. We are actually giving Krishna consciousness liberally. Apparently it looks like exploitation from their perspective, but in our perspective it is not exploitation. We are actually coming, okay, you want to eat more? Okay, more. More pakora? Okay, it's there, yeah. It is changing their heart. Prasadam is a start. Adrian Babu knows. Hari Bol. Yes, Prabhu.
Just a small question.
Yeah.
Like, how can we effectively implement this in our offices, Prabhu? Liberal and they will not take
advantage of us. It depends in which sense we are going to be liberal. I don't know, in terms of preaching, may not be possible to do a Harinam in office. being so liberal, being so magnanimous, you know, there could be some implications to that. So, you know, it depends on place and circumstances, how we can actually impress upon something about Krishna. Prasadam could be possible. Prasadam is possible.
Well, you can just call me and just tell me
what. Few years back, Jagannath Prabhu used to say that he used to be very
humble and some of his poor colleagues should take advantage of him.
Yeah.
Then he has to go back, study back and say, hang on, you know, this is up to here is okay, but after that, you know, you cannot do it.
That's right. Yeah. We will come to that core point, you know, that point that we will discuss towards the end. That will be the last discussion of this session today. We will not get into that point. But in terms of preaching, practically, you know, giving out, we have to see in which level we can do it. If somebody is curious and, you know, asking so many questions, then we can directly give the knowledge. It has happened before, in offices also, where people ask some questions. What do you follow? What is it? You know, what is the meaning? Then we can give that. But otherwise, take a slow steps towards that. Otherwise, you know, we cannot just, you know, initially, if somebody becomes a devotee initially and, you know, when goes out, wants to preach to everyone, want to become completely magnanimous, but it may not be the best approach.
Mm.
I tried to preach to my professor, because I was just becoming a devotee and, you know, I had my supervisor and I took him to Crossways and I gave him Sri Shobanishad and asked him to read the first verse and asked him to, you know, eat prasadam and, you know, just... And in few minutes, I got him back in the tram and I saw Nityananda Priya Prabhu in the tram. I said, you know, I wanted him to preach to him. I told him, you know, this is my supervisor, you know, Prabhu, why don't you... So he called me aside and said, you know, don't preach to him like this. He asked me, is your marks, is your grades and is your everything, is it dependent on him? I said, yes, it looks like, because he's my supervisor. He said, don't preach like this. Okay, that was my first preaching experience. I said, okay, then I took it easy. I didn't try to push, you know. My aim was, you know, first Isha Upanishad, Isha Vasyamitam Sarvam, the whole thing, you know, I was explaining, you know, giving the book. I said, just read this, you know, everything is there. Isha Upanishad is very heavy because it is strongly against the materialism. So I was thinking, it's the best opportunity. And, you know, he seems to be quite, you know, engrossed in the material things and, you know. So we had to be careful. We should know how to preach. Okay. So we need 6 teams now. 6 teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Of less than 6 is fine. Maximum 6. How many are there here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 6 in each team. It's very simple, no complications. Everyone is going to discuss the same thing. Each team is going to present. It's a group exercise. It's very simple. We'll do it fast in 10 minutes. It's very easy. Which is the first team? 6 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jagannathan Prabhu, Nitesh Prabhu, this direction. So, okay, here you have 6 people together, so you come together. Here, 6. And if there is any confusion in the question, ask me. Here, 6 people are here?
Yes.
Okay. How many are there? 6? 6 done? Okay, let's see. Go. 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Prabhuji? Till Mani Prabhu, you had to go this way. This way, one. It's not complicated. Okay, Bharat Prabhu, sorry. Sri Krishnendra Prabhu is there. And Bharat Prabhu, where is Bharat Prabhu? Oh, it's there. So each Haribo, each group should come up with the science of victory, which is straightforward, and the importance of the quote that is given. Thank you. List the signs of victory and what is the practical application of the quote. The quote is there. Read the quote, is very clear, there is no confusion. Yes, 10 minutes. Just write down here. No acting. This is not a skit, it's just write down and one person can present. The science of victory you can write, the practical application you can present, write. So you can just write down the science of victory and the practical application of the quote. That you can just list down and just present it. Clear now? Yeah. So it's just a science of victory. So you have to read. Science of victory as given in the Bhagavad Gita. You have, it's in the Gita, you should read. Otherwise, you know. So there, you know, point is there are few points on victory. There are different signs of victory. So you have to compile all those. 4 or 5 are there, not many. And then you had to read that. Yeah, flag is one. That's right. And then come up with the this. What is the how will you apply practically this point? I hope it's clear, isn't it? Clear, isn't it? Just, just a list. Basically, it's simple.
Application of
the quote.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. The whole thing is basically telling one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how will you apply in your life?
Okay.
In our old devotion life, we are applying this principle again and again. So, you know, just list down a few. Straightforward. It's just 10 minutes. So, you know, not much. With this court,
all the signs of victory.
You have to
overall
also. First, list overall signs of victory, and then discuss a practical application of the particular thing.
No, so the signs, charity was given by Saint Lord. It's
Yes, sir. Very sadly, yeah, of course.
That doesn't come under this.
It is science of victory, that's right. Yes, correct. That's right. It's two sections. One is science of victory, and second is the discussion based on this course. Going okay? All done? Yeah, pretty much the applications are coming. Two sections, isn't it? That's good. You're on the right track. No problem. So all of you done? Finished? Done. One group is done. Good. You're done? Done. Done, isn't it? Yes, it's simple. Done, isn't it? I think you are revising, I think, already done. You're also done, no? You're also done? Okay. So, yeah, Aribal, everyone is very ready. Ready. Hari Bol, ready? So, first group, which is the first group? So we'll go from, start from here today, different. So, the group leader can come. If there is no leader, one has to be the leader. Okay. Haribo. Haribo, listen. The first you had to tell science of victory. That will be common for everyone, so it's no problem.
Only one or?
You can tell everything. Science of victory. We'll finish that.
Science of victory. First, Hanuman is present on the planet. Hanuman has helped Ram, okay. Lord Ram in fighting against Ravan. So his presence has given victory for Lord Ram. So he's there. And the second thing is Krishna is personally present between Arjuna. So where is Krishna? There is victory.
Everyone got this point? Anyone didn't get these two? Oh, got it? Okay, that's good. Then next.
Because Krishna is there, obviously goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi is there. So who will bring fortune?
Okay, who did you write this one? Goddess of fortune? No. Okay. So you can write this one now. It's important. When Krishna is there, goddess of fortune is, you wrote this?
No.
No, okay, you have to write that. It's a very important point. Goddess of fortune is there. This point is there? Okay. So good point. Next. Haribol.
As we discussed that Kurukshetra is the holy place, so influence of a holy place on the virtuous people.
Yeah.
And then next is the transcendental sound of conch shell.
Oh, okay. Conch shell. Who didn't write conch shell? Did you write conch shell? You don't have a list. Okay, conch shell is very important. Because first who blew the conch shell?
Bhishma.
So Bhishma was on the Kaurava side, still he blew the conch shell. That is indicative of
loss.
Yeah, their loss or victory of Pandavas. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Gandiva Bhav and chariot. Who gave the chariot?
Agni.
Who gave the quiver and
Indra.
Indra arrows, yeah, Indra. And the horses by?
Gandharva.
What is it? Which Gandharva?
Chief.
Who is the chief of Gandharva? Chitraratha. Chitraratha, yeah. Chitraratha, the chief of Gandharvas, donated. And what's the relation between Indra and Arjun?
Father and son.
Father and son, okay. Alright, that's all. Anything else? Any other points regarding the science of victory? Anybody else has got it?
Gandhi
already mentioned. Any other points other than these points regarding science of victory? There are more. Yeah. Because few things are classified together. The Gandhi was a quiver and arrow, and that's all comes under the same heading. So, surrender to Krishna. Okay. yeah, that's already mentioned. Krishna's presence. Okay, that's fine. Now, Haribol. So now, the most important part. What is the application of the court that is given?
This year.
Not this year. Okay, exactly that court. Yeah. You don't have to read the court. Everyone has got the copy of the court. Yeah, same court.
This one, what, yeah, like, we have this thing, like, each one, we have to be physically present for any activities to go well. Like, we will be thinking that I have to be there, and to my effort, and my effort will influence that. Without my presence, without my effort, nothing will go straight. Like, that is for the position. So here Arjuna was not displaying that quality. He is considering himself is not at all like influence on the victory. So he's just begging for the mercy of previous the senior devotees and acharyas and then Lord. So he's just asking Hanumanji, because he knew that he has given victory for Lord Ram. So he is not considering himself as a great warrior, even though he is very victorious in all the battles and he is famous as the best student of Dronacharya, but he is so humble and he is taking guidance from previous acharyas and from mercy of the Lord.
No.
Sorry, he is getting...
Yeah, that's fine. So how you and your group is going to apply this in your practical life? This is a good explanation of the court, that's right. Okay. That's all?
Okay.
Done? Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Second group. Behind. You don't have to read the signs. You can just quickly... tell the application. Yeah, that's fine. You have difficulty coming. You can stand up so you can see everyone. See everyone. Give a wide audience.
We have practical application. So, for example, any service that we have to do, someone before who's done before very nicely, that's the child's how to do it. So, for example, Tirtha, he showed me how to do the fruit cut up and make it all nice and decorative for the Lord.
Okay, yeah. So the parampara is flowing.
Any service or we have to approach those who have done it before for the Lord.
Okay, that's a good point. Haribo, thank you. It's a good one.
same points, practical application, any service we do, for example, going to Haridam or preaching or giving class, cooking, or even ordering prasad, offering prasad, we keep Lord in the mind and pray that actually I'm not the doer, I need your mercy to carry out the service for your pleasure. So that means if one has then the progress. And that was a practical application.
Okay, that not only the Lord, not only Krishna, but you know, Prabhupada, practically speaking, one's own guru, one can meditate on one's own guru, one can meditate and pray to see the Prabhupada. So it's not enough, and then of course Krishna. So we don't just focus only on Krishna. Definitely guru, Srila Prabhupada has a special position in our movement, so one has to pray to Srila Prabhupada, one has to pray to one guru before doing any activity. Thank you. That's good. Hari Bol. Prabhuji. Nitesh Prabhu, come Prabhu.
We got the same points, conscious.
Science are okay.
The second thing is when we go for preaching, we pray for Guru and Prabhupada for his mercy to show, and only because we are actually transferring only on the discipline tradition, not by ourselves. There is nothing we tell with our own concoction. We just present as it is. The Srila Prabhupada said, so that is what we pray before we do anything.
Thank you, Haribo. Yes, Prabhu. It's difficult to come, you can't stand there, yes.
So one thing was praying for mercy, but
Haribo, just listen.
But in my experience, for example, praying and it gets so far, you actually have to do what they say. You know, you can pray for the mercy of the Guru Maharaj, but if you don't do what they say, you generally don't get a lot.
Yeah.
So,
good point.
I mean, you're not gonna, if you want to have a peaceful mind, you're not gonna do it if you're running around here drinking and gambling and doing anything else. So practically you have to do what they say.
You know,
if you want to have strength while you're at work, then do the morning program or at least some of the
That's right, that's a good point.
But also you need to, if you want to take shelter of the charity, you need to know what the charity says, so you have to read their books.
Yep.
So you need to have faith that they'll support you, but that implies if you have faith in what they say, then you'll actually do what they say.
Yep.
Following an example, you know, if somebody else is successful in a particular regard, then you do what they do.
Begging for mercy means sometimes the Guru will give the instruction and we are not ready to follow the instruction. So then there is no mercy actually. As I said, the mercy is in following the instruction. Mercy of Guru is this instruction means by following the instruction one really get the mercy. If no following, where is the mercy? What's the use of that mercy then? Where is the mercy in your life? There is nothing. Yeah, it's not manifested in your life. It is there, of course. It's a good point. Very, very important. That's the point we have to meditate many, many times actually. And Prabhu mentioned about the morning program. So how everyone is going with the sadhana chart at the end of the handbook? Anyone start filling? If not, you can start filling. Handbook, at the end of the handbook, no? It's missed out? Yeah, there are pages. Eh? Who said it's for girls then? It's for all of you. It's for everyone. This is a perfect concoction. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Prabhu. Yeah.
Just a question on the handbook.
Yeah.
Want to?
I suppose it is days, yeah. Only 22 days, so. Yeah, we can give it. How many amount of copies you want, I can give you. It's not an issue. You can spend it. Yeah, that's all right. It's no problem. As far as you're doing, it's fine. But there is a good list given. So it's expected. If somebody is near the temple, then they can come to the temple. If not, at home do have, first of all, have an altar. And if any help is required, somebody can help. Can talk to me. If there is no altar at home, I can help you. Or somebody can help you. Then do at least a small arati with incense, which is not complicated. You can learn the basic mantras. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadev Bhaktivedanta Swamini, etc. And you can do a small arati and chant Hare Krishna. So that is the expected, the basic program. At least one should do that much. And if somebody is living near the temple, then come to the temple. So that is the idea. That is practice. That is actually practical application of Bhakti Shastri in whole. Otherwise, we are not actually following, yeah?
So, if you are at home and you are coming for the morning program, so do you have to do the RTS?
No, if you are, just do it here. DTs, especially. Now, if there is no DTs and if it's a pictures, that's fine. But if you are living away from the temple, but still you can use the same facility to do a small arati. That is just offering incense. Yeah, you can do that is the arati and you can do the offering because you have to eat prasadam naturally. And chant the rounds, etc. Yeah. Which team? No? We have one team? Yes, Prabhu. Sri Krishna Chandra Prabhu.
The practical application, you said.
Hari Bhav.
Follow and beg for the help of previous acharyas.
Yeah.
And remember always our previous acharyas. And, well, I was just discussing, I had a point that I think one should have at least a Shiksha Guru. Forgot about the Diksha Guru.
Yeah.
Because at least we can take some instructions.
That's right.
What exactly that Arjuna was doing, actually. You know, he was going and having Shiksha from Hanuman.
That's a good point. About Shiksha, means we basically many other people also mentioned, they didn't use the word Shiksha, but taking help from some senior devotees, that we all do. If not, it's not the right thing. We have to. Because otherwise we don't get any guidance on practical applications. Pretty clear, this thing? Any other points or questions? Yes, Prabhu? No, he just... Sorry? This is left?
They have already done that, Prabhu.
Eh?
This one.
Yeah, they are done. They are done. All done. Fine. Eh? I'll show you later. Isn't it clear? How to fill it? It's written very clearly?
Just tick.
Yeah, tick. Yeah, that's okay. You know, what color of pen? Is it tick or cross or line or, you know, or circle or, you know. No, that's okay, you know. It will serve the purpose. Doesn't matter. The idea is you are supposed to submit to me. The idea is, at the end of this unit, you have to give me each of you have to give the sadhana chart to me, filled sadhana chart to me, filled, not the sheet itself. So that is part of assessment, that's the reason.
And if you have any questions on this,
on?
If we have questions on understanding,
yeah, you can ask me after the class, I will explain. Hari Bhav, Hare Krishna, please listen. You haven't got a copy, that we can get it, that's not it. Okay, I'll give you the copies, and those who have received the copies had to pay $25 to Manikumar Prabhu. Accountant, he is our official accountant for Bhakti Shastri course. And also, you have the attendance list with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's okay. You can pass it on. you can pass it on. You can just give it to each table. Okay, Haribol. Prabhu, just keep it after this. Haribol Prabhu. Manikumar Prabhu. We can list after this session. We'll just give it to everyone. Okay, now we are actually coming to towards the end. So, two main points we had to discuss. One is the importance of the 21st and 22nd verse, in which it is written, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Stapaya Mechuta. What does that mean? Arjun is telling Krishna something. What is Arjun is telling? Ratham Stapaya Me Achyuta. Exactly. And it's between, to whom he is telling? To? Krishna. So what does that mean?
He's ordering.
Is ordering?
A devotee has the right to...
Has the right to order. Okay, is that the point? We have the right to order the Lord. Is that the point? Then?
Krishna is so that you take the position...
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's a relationship. And it is... It's a relationship between the devotee and... And also, what kind of devotee? Is it the our kind of devotee? You know, finishing in difficult to finish 16 rounds, and you know, sleeping, and you know, chanting and chatting, and you know, so many things going on. Is that kind of devotee? No. It is mentioning about what? Pure devotees. So it is talking about the sweet and transcendental relationship between pure devotee of the Lord and the Supreme Lord. And in that relationship, what happens? As Bharat Prabhu was pointing out,
Krishna will take the position to take the orders.
Yeah, Krishna is happy. He is very happy to take the orders from his pure devotees. He exactly. He gets transcendental pleasure in that activity.
Since the relationship between the Lord and his servitor, there is another significant grace in the relationship
Different? Yeah, that's right. Even in different rasas, the same thing can manifest in different ways. That's a good point. Now, so we have, if in the Shastra, there are, you know, so many examples in which the Lord is serving his devotees. So now, every one of you, just think of yourself. 1 minute. Anything. One or two or three or four of examples from Shastra by yourself. Just think. Where a devotee is being served by the Supreme Lord. We can see one example here. That is, Krishna is serving Arjun. He is accepting the position as a order carrier of his own devotee. So, is there any other examples? So, you know, you don't have to say, don't say, 1 minute, just think. Don't. Okay, just think. And when I ask you to everyone, you can give one example each. Okay, quiet for a few seconds. Think for yourself. No, it's not a discussion. You think? You're telling the question. Okay. Yeah, in this, from his pastimes, you know, there are so many pastimes. Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, Gaura Leela, so many others. So, anything that you can think of.
Krishna
group discussion and dumb charades and several things are happening. I hope everyone has got a few examples by now. Right? Okay, Chandresh Prabhu, want to come here? We can write down. So I'm not asking you first, so you're safe. Okay, we can start from here. Want to tell one example? What you thought about? Okay, exactly. You know the pastime? Draupadi, when she was helpless, Krishna supplied the whole. Yeah, so that is, yeah, it was not ordering, but it was requesting. Still, okay, fine. One, you can tell one, just tell one. Yeah, that's right. Haridas Thakur, pastime of Haridas Thakur and Mahaprabhu. Because when Namacharya Haridas Thakur left his body, Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. You know how he left his body? Haridas Thakur wanted to leave his body in the presence of Mahaprabhu. So that day, when Mahaprabhu came, Thakur Haridas straight away looked at the face of Mahaprabhu. And while he was looking at the face of Mahaprabhu, he left the body. So that is. And after that, Mahaprabhu personally carried the body of Haridas Thakur, and he was dancing in ecstasy. Yeah, then. Prabhu, you have? No. Krishna carrying the slippers of Nanda Maharaj. So there it's very interesting, because Prabhuji pointed out in different rasas or in different relationship, it manifests in different ways. Here we can say in the parental relationship how it is manifesting. So it's a very good point. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, yeah. Abhishek Prabhu.
Mahaprabhu bringing
prasadam
to Haridas Thakur every day.
Oh, yeah. It's a very wonderful, very wonderful point. Yeah, beautiful point. Beautiful. Every day. So it is said, Thakur Haridas, since he was born in the Muslim family, he was unable to visit the Jagannath temple, but Lord Jagannath himself was visiting him with prasadam. That is, Mahaprabhu was coming every day and giving him prasadam from the Jagannath Puri temple. Adrian Prabhu?
He saved Arjuna from Vishnudev, so he saved Arjuna by saving him, and also served Vishnudev by upholding his honesty.
Okay, so two shot in one go. Okay. Let's go. No. Bhad Prabhu? Suman Prabhu, anything? Oh yeah, that is a Yeah, it's an interesting point, interesting kind of service that Mahaprabhu did, because Thakur Haridas was beaten in the marketplace and Mahaprabhu covered his body. So all the beating who got? Mahaprabhu. And in Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprabhu showed his marks on his back, because all the beating for Haridas Thakur Mahaprabhu personally received. So he showed all the marks. Okay.
Sabri, she was feeding her
remnants. Yeah.
But he was the Lord and he was the king. Even though because of the devotion she was doing it, so he accepted all this.
Okay. But it was not ordering, but it was accepting. Okay. Accepting the remnants. If you think about, interesting enough, Sabari was offering that fruit. Which fruit it was?
Bale
fruit. And it had the saliva of Sabari. It was saliva of Sabari. And still, dried saliva. Still, Lord Ramachandra accepted. It's done. Done. You are done? No.
Just a question on the same
Yeah.
So like when we were in Sydney, we went to this Vijay Sangha Center.
Yeah.
Vijay Sangha Center like this, nothing happened like this.
Shabri
gave, it's not authorized, it's just.
It's not an authorized story. It's not a. Okay, then we can put a question mark in it. Yeah, it's fine. This was I have heard, so I'm not sure. I haven't read the, you know, the original Rama.
One is Shabri, the second is
Lakshman Rekha. Okay. So Shabri was there or no?
Shabri was
there.
She didn't give the
remnants. Okay. So we don't, since it's a question mark, we don't use that example at this point. Yes, Prabhu, you want to give another? Eh?
When they used to play, he used to feed with the lunch. When they used to share fruits and everything, he used to play around. As a kid, he used to play with
the
Udhava,
okay.
Who
said Samudama? Okay, no. Haribo.
60,000 gopis.
What?
60,000, he is serving 60,000 gopis. Because in the previous one they were saying, and then they wanted. I don't know how to put it.
Sorry. Okay, I understand what he's saying. The one group of gopis who were sages in which forest? Dandakaranya. When they approached Lord Ramachandra, they wanted to have conjugal relationship with him, but since Lord Ramachandra can have only one wife, he fulfilled the desire when he came as Krishna. Okay, so it's serving the desire of the devotee. Yes, it is.
Answering the plea of Rukmini.
Okay. To kidnap her. Akhil Prabhu, okay, now we are starting a little bit here. Only a few. Okay, we had to go fast. Prabhuji. Okay, so it's a recent past time we heard, it's 2 days back, so it's fine. Dancing for gopis. Yes, Prabhu. Lifting Govardhan Giri, yes, exactly, very good, very nice. Mani Prabhu.
Satyavama's desire of getting Parijada.
Parijada flower, yes, that's right, yeah. Nitesh Prabhu.
Sanatan Goswami, I think it's Sanatan Goswami, when he was a high writing.
Yeah. I can't exactly remember the past time. That is not exactly. Is that the one? Is it because of the heat? The point is right. Tiger, two past times. In tiger, what happened? Yeah, protection from, yeah.
There's another past time where Krishna comes
from the tiger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the same, yeah. Oh, okay, that's right. It's good. Yeah. Jatayu, yeah, that's a very good point. Yes, nice. Navin Prabhu? For Jatayu, he did the last rites because he tried to protect Jatayu, the bird. Was cut by Ravan. The wings were cut by Ravan. Narasimhadev appearing in front of Prahlad Maharaj. Here we stopped at Subhimal Roof. I'll come to you. Wait. Okay, it's there. Okay, Krishna feeding the monkey butter, yes. Yes, Prabhu.
Gopis offering sweets for Krishna's dancing, and Krishna danced well.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, nice point. Yeah. It's already mentioned that point, Krishna dancing. Okay, Prabhu?
As like, probably I think one or two are already there, but yeah, as we discussed, like, canvas is driving the chariot of Arjuna forward.
Okay, that's fine.
Request of
yeah. Any other examples? Yes, Prabhu?
Krishna saying King Parikshit.
King Parikshit? Oh, in the womb. Yeah, that's a very good point. That's one of the initial scenes of Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna comes in the same way as Bhakta Vatsala. What's the whole point Krishna is coming as? Bhakta Vatsala and he protected Maharaj Parikshit. The same way here Krishna is with Arjun as Bhakta Vatsala. So he's ready to drive the chariot of Arjun. Same, exactly, Bhagavatam, the same context. Jai Prabhu?
Yeah. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Mahaprabhu and he presented the feast,
yeah,
it was so large that hundreds of people cannot finish. But then by his request, Mahaprabhu gave all prasad.
Yeah, that's right. It was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Advaita Acharya? I think it's Advaita Acharya. Madhavendra Puri is fasting, where he milk. Okay, that's nice. He came here, Kheer Chow. Sarabhu, covered already? Sakshi Gopal. Okay. Yeah. Now, who didn't tell? You told, I think. Okay, Prabhu, Mithil Prabhu.
Mother Ishwar and Vasudeva asked for the sixth.
What is that?
Mother Ishwar and Vasudeva asked for the sixth.
Sixth son, okay. Devaki.
In Trita Yuga, God takes birth like in.
The moon darshan for Lord Ram. For Lord Ram. Okay. Anyone else has got any other past name? What is this? Santipani, yeah. Santipani's sons, yeah. Santipani, yeah. Yeah, that's already mentioned. That's true. Alright, that's another good pastime, yeah. Ambarishwara. So, we have so many pastimes. So, the point is clear, at least. In particularly in this context. Yes, yeah, Prabhu, you want to mention one more?
It's Krishna Lila, Sri Krishna Sudha Bhav. When Narada Muni Krishna.
What is that?
The
theme
is Sri Krishna
Tulabha or
something.
Tula? Tulabha.
Balance. Balance.
Oh, balance. Balance. Okay, I don't exactly remember that first time. You know? Pajya? Oh, Tulasi past time. Yeah, you, what, Haribha?
When you're looking at examples of Krishna...
Serving his devotee. Serving his devotee is turned into pretty much, you know, it's a combination. Anyway, it's a bit deviated, but it's okay. Okay, Haribol. So we will come back. So the whole point is Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, means he is dear to his devotees. So even all these examples. In many examples, the devotees didn't order, but at the same time, Krishna is showing his dearness to his devotees. So, it's fine. Now we are going to the last section. We had to finish it fast. So that is a quick group exercise, and in which the point came about very nicely, and you can go through it with the same theme. It's simple, but it has a very lot of practical relevance. This is your own team, no? Oh, your own. This is all. You can ask, yeah. No, finishing this exercise, you can ask. So you mark the attendance list and give it to pass on.
Yeah, I mark
everything. Yeah. It's strictly 10 minutes, just 10 minutes for discussion, that's it. We had to finish fast, it's getting late.
The code.
I think this is good. This code is for you, I think. You already mentioned this point before.
Yeah.
So it is exactly coming the same.
Thank you.
Almost done? Done? 2 minutes. Okay, Prabhuji, time up pretty much. Done? Huh? Questions are given very clearly. So. Done? Almost done? Okay, it's done almost? Okay, it's done. Done, okay. Done? Okay. Done? 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 Simple presentation, no need to complicate. It's done? Oh, yes, good. Okay, Haribol. So we'll have the presentation. You can just stand up from here. Okay, Amal Gaur. Haribol. Amal Gaur Sundar Prabhu is going to present Vaishnavism and violence. We are ready to eager to listen.
This particular quote, like the first question is why this quote was maybe misused. If you take an example like the so-called religionistic movements like Al Qaeda or Osama bin Laden or even Bajrang Dal Shir Sena, they all are simply using the religion basically, but they are just creating a violence in the society, and that is totally a misusing what particularly Prabhupada wants to say in this particular quotations. The second thing is,
so it means that if we follow in their footsteps, then we are misusing.
Misusing, yes.
Okay.
Second thing, evaluate the conscious.
Because they are not using this code, first of all.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we follow them, then actually we are misusing. In one sense. Yeah.
The second thing is evaluate the consequences of such misuse. Like, we will lose the faith in the religion. Because they are like, take an example of Bajrang Dal, they are saying like Hinduism is like this, and at the end of the day there is a chaos in the society. So we will lose faith in the actual religion, which actually happened with the Buddhism. Like, Buddhism initially came up with non-violence, and later on something came up, and now Buddhism into a big church.
Okay. Yeah, 3% is fine. Okay, yeah. And?
Like, the best example is, again, Al-Qaeda, bro.
Next example.
Al-Qaeda.
Do you have more than one example? No, different parties.
Did you want an example where you might have to use?
No, where it can be misused. A few examples of misuse, and just choose one of them, that's all. Misuse. Okay. Yeah, in personal context you can misuse, of course.
Yeah, no, like, there is one person in Punjab, like, Baba Ram Rahim.
Okay.
He's just using whatever is there in his mind, and now there is, so much chaos in the society in Punjab. Like, somebody is saying he's a fake guru, and he's projecting himself, like, because of this, that irreligion, so much violence is happening in Punjab.
Okay.
And so many people is dying, so...
I think that's the best example. And what is the Prabhu's real point in it? In terms of us, actually we had to think in terms of, say, Bhagavad Gita is speaking violence, in one sense. Krishna is asking to fight. So, how does that apply to us? What Prabhu is trying to say?
Like, with this scenario, with this thing, like, we just remember one quotation from Prabhupada. Like, Prabhupada used to say, like, be lamp in the association of devotees and be lion outside the...
But does that mean that we have to attack everyone?
No, definitely not. It's just like, we should be firm against the Mayavadis, or like, because right now we can't go with the knives and everything and we start fighting. It's like the stand should be firm against Mayavadis and against irreligion.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Hari Bol. Group 2. Yeah, one of you. Haribol, everyone listen very carefully. And you can ask any questions if you have.
I think there's misuse with things like holy wars. I think that's probably the most common one. Yeah. You do sometimes see people are a bit, you know, they have their ideas on, you know, some different organizations of religious groups, well, not religious groups, but like what was the man who was in Waco or whatever it was over in the US. You know, it was one group who was, you know, doing all sorts of things and ended up burning the whole thing down. These are examples where, or Ku Klux Klan is another example where it was based on some, well, it's not really religion, but they consider themselves quite religious, of going out and killing blacks and all sorts of things, because they, based on their understandings of the Bible, that these people were inferior. So things like slavery was also backed by many churches, and violence was caused to those people. You know, the violence to Aboriginals and things like that was considered, you know, these people are inferior, they're not even human beings, therefore we're allowed to commit violence to them. You know, there are many examples where religion's been used to justify why these people are not people, and therefore we can, you know, Hannibal can make another example.
Yeah.
But they don't have a soul, they justify
yeah.
So there's many consequences, the chaos.
So what is Prabhupada's real point?
People lose faith in religion quite often. Prabhupada's point is to do what Krishna wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite often.
So in terms of Bhagavad Gita context, what can we conclude? So because Krishna is telling to fight, so but for us, what does that mean? Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, if you look at the way society is going, even in our lifetime, there is likely to be war at some point. Whether that involves us personally, it's unlikely that it's not going to affect either our lives or the lives of our children. It may be that devotees do have to go to war.
Yeah, he may have to.
Certainly, particularly if we say, okay, we're going to spread these movements to every corner, every town and village in the world, and we want everybody to be devotees, well, naturally, not everybody's going to agree with that philosophy, and maybe war will come about. And if we do manage to have half the population as devotees, well, I mean, where are you going to get the fighters from? No? Being futuristic
and optimistic. Okay.
Is the Prabhupada's real point that we should, if Krishna consciousness is under any jeopardy, then we should have the courage to stand up and defend?
Yeah, that's right.
For the protection of the
exactly. Yeah, it's a good point.
Not use violence as a means to propagate
the gospel. Okay. Good point.
If I recall, I have been told, I don't know how true it is, but I was told that they used to actually, that various gangs in the early days actually shot gunshots.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I think the devotees, from what I've heard, they were kind of hiding behind the temple wall. And when they came up, they jumped over there with axes.
Yeah, exactly. It happened right here.
Yeah.
Right here, in front of the temple. And devotees went with that big iron rods and things like that. And they broke the, you know, the window of the cars, and they threw. Then they ran away. Then after that, no more attack. So it's a good use of violence. In one sense, it happened here. It's a fact, yeah. But it was years back, isn't it?
Yeah,
long time, like a few decades back. So it happened. Yes, Prabhu.
The same thing Nalas was mentioning about, like, basically we know that in the northeast part of India, how people, the so-called missionaries, are propagating Christianity with the use of different statements, or seeing the Hinduism as, you know, they're carrying weapons, you know, the gods are carrying weapons, you know, and they're propagating Christianity. To a certain extent, that there is violence, and they want
the consequences are nationalism. Like, you know, they want their own country based on misguided principles.
Hmm.
So, that is one that we can think of.
Okay.
Also, we see that, like in Mayapur, how there was Jacobins, a lot of Jacobins.
Okay, that's a very, very good, very good, interesting.
The Buddhist culture are Islam and white, but they had to be violent.
Yeah.
Counterattack those Jacobins.
That's right. Devotees had to fight. That's a good point.
And the same with the Jew temple, it was the
Yeah, but there was no physical fight by the devotees in that case.
Yeah.
So what's the real meaning?
So the real meaning is pretty much there in the last line of
the
where Prabhupada says, but generally there is no question of becoming unnecessarily.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's like pretty much we don't have to be violent because our mission, our movement is basically of preaching Krishna consciousness to others.
Mm.
For that, there is no question of becoming violent with that. So
we have to
be careful and be.
Yeah. That move.
We see a lot of cases where people use religion and
rationalize
their personal motives.
That's right.
And one of the consequences is that leads to people deviating from the initial goal of that mission. They become to energy or to narrow minded in their. They might think that this is the only path, and anybody who is not following the rules or strictly as per this, whatever has been laid down, they need to be eliminated or something. They take it to the extreme. They can use violence where it is not really required. What may be required is more amount of preaching. So, it is the same symptom. Examples where this is used is there are societies which have political connections which use power and money to further their political or personal motives rather than political institution and their mission.
Yeah.
So with regard to what Prabhupada's real point was is that we should not be covered in our approach.
Yeah.
Although we talk about being kind and all that, but when it comes to defending our faith, defending our principles, we need to be able to live up to that, not be covered even the situation comes up. But generally, we don't have to use arms or violence because generally we are all law abiding citizens, so we can use the law and.
Yeah.
Incident I remember recently on Harinam,
who
you know very well.
Some
one drunkard started abusing devotee, and one devotee called him to fire. But other devotee kept continuing Harinam. And then next day we got a call from those who were watching the
internet.
We can see that, and then Anil Prabhu received. So, and it brings bad name.
Exactly.
To Prabhupada and mission. So, as far as possible, we should avoid.
Yeah.
But on other hand, incident happened. Probably mentioned that attack on temple.
Yeah, that's right.
Violence. So, that time we can use violence. So, and Prabhupada's point, we your point is. Devotee follows Krishna's order, which may include being violent, which should not be based on one's false ego.
Yeah.
And should be trained both ways.
Yeah. So in, on Haridam, if you attack people, somebody is abusing, and if you try to be physical on them, then we can't go so far. we may have to tolerate or walk away if somebody is abusing. We can't physically punch them. But if somebody is attacking, then we should protect.
So the person, because what happened, someone rang up the temple, and it was the person that they thought it was, and he said that he just talked to this person. Because this person was just like some guy who was just shouting at us. And he had some problems with the verse for some reason. So he went away, and we were like, you know, we didn't know what happened. He came back and said he talked to him. But then we got the call, and I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe he did it. And then that person, he explained, not really for me, not really for me, except for what he said. So what actually happened, he became aggressive to us, he took away, we went away, we didn't talk to him, and then, you know, changed himself in mind. But, just because it's important, I just want to make sure that that person, he actually
Misuse could be when we think we are the authority and we find somebody unruly in the temple, and he's probably being violent with us. He's saying something rude, we just go and, you know, break his head or something.
when we can
try and avoid the situation. Violence should only be violent in self defense. As a last resort only. That's what Srila Prabhupada is sort of indicating. One should be prepared, but it's not necessary to be violent. The consequence of such a misuse is that it will, as devotees, or if we become violent unnecessarily, it spreads a wrong message in society. Especially if religion is resort to violence, it is total degradation in society, basically. What is the best example to spread violence in the temple or outside in your behavior?
Yeah.
So on and so forth. So there are various examples of issues. I think what I found, what is Srila Prabhupada's real point here is that it is a last resort mechanism only.
So in conclusion, the point is Bhagavad Gita, even though it is telling, okay, Arjuna to fight, it is in the battlefield and the whole scene is violence. Still the point is the aim of Bhagavad Gita, the objective of Bhagavad Gita is to become devotees of Krishna. It's not propagating violence. The point is not violence, rather it is surrender to Krishna. So that is that message we are carrying. So the element of violence is there, but at the same time that is not our message, is not violence. But it is surrender to Krishna and to carry the order of Krishna. So in this case, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is ordering to be violent, so Arjuna is being violent. So in the examples we can see, when there is requirement of protection of the devotees, then violence is used. But again, these things depends on the time, place and circumstances, by the order of the senior devotees. One may try to protect or other things. Like I was hearing one lecture in New York, there used to be a team. If somebody creates problem in the, you know, outside, if somebody comes and creates violent scene in the temple, there used to be a few devotees who are real kshatriyas. So the receptionist used to shout in the over the phone, you know, Narsimha, Narsimha. So when that Narsimha, they hear, these devotees become very happy because they have the kshatriya spirit. They used to have under, you know, the long pants under the dhoti, and they used to remove the dhoti and run and come. And who are you know, attacking or creating trouble to the reception, they will, you know, catch hold of them and, you know, call the police and, you know. So they used to be the security team, you know. So it's pretty much, you can see the violent security team is there. So that is for peace and law and peace and everything, need a security team. So we had to understand the right sense, not the other way. And ultimately, bottom line is, Bhagavad Gita is teaching surrender to Krishna. It's not violence. So that is the underlying point. So we have done quite a few things today, quite a few points. So we'll just quickly summarize. What was the first point we discussed? The first. Before that. Yeah, before the Mahabharata story leading up to? Interpret. Yeah. Then second? Mood and mission in the preface. Then? Before that? Dharmakshetra. Then diplomacy of Duryodhan. Then? Liberal nature of Brahmana. Then? Lord. Yeah, science of victory. And then? Exactly. And then that is Ratham Stabaya Mechita. And finally, violence and Vaishnavism. Okay, so quite a few things. So now, while reading, you can keep answering the questions, because the final test will be on those questions. After finishing the unit, the whatever questions there are in the handbook, that will be used for the closed book examination. And for next week, you had to read the rest of the first chapter and two verses from second chapter, 21 and 27. Rest of the chapter, first chapter, we have read till 22nd verses, so 23rd onwards till 44, and 21st and 27th verse from second chapter. 21 and 27 from second chapter. The main portion is first chapter, the continuation. We will be finishing the first chapter. And we will see next week, there will be some referencing from the 18th chapter also. Some future chapters also will be referred in the next session. So it will be continuing mainly on Dharma in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. A long session.